性格的操练。Our message is Mayday, Mayday, a test of character.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this beautiful morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit be here with us. Help us, Lord, to hear of your words and bless this time that we have to learn. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Before I want to start my message, I'd like to alert everyone to this new movie that just came out 2 days ago. And the movie is called The Cross. It is playing at the mall, and it's based about the story of Arthur Bessett. And he's a gentleman that got the calling from God to carry this big wooden cross around the world. Again, let me say it again, around the world. And you can see there, he made it to 38,102 miles. It took him 38 years to do. And he went through, I believe, 291 countries and islands, and he basically finished the job. And the movie is a very good documentary about how he got the calling, how he followed the calling, and the many stories that happened along the way. So I really recommend people to go and see this movie. I saw it and I was quite moved by it. And get there fast. It won't be there for too long. Okay? Now, let me tell you of a true story from New York City. Joe was upset. Joe's work had taken longer to get done than he expected. But it was done. So instead of walking around the park to go to his train station, he decided to go through the park to cut off some time and get there faster. And there was a chill in the air, and the wind was picking up, and it was getting darker than he expected to be that fast. And the park was totally empty. And then suddenly, Joe got the Mayday, Mayday call. In the bushes there, next way he was approaching, he heard a struggle. There was a sound of fibers, clothing being ripped. And then he heard the woman crying. And Joe stopped everything, and he thought to himself, what should I do? He was upset with himself because it took too long to do his job. Why did he have to walk through the park instead of walk his usual path around the park? Okay, he goes, I'm just a ordinary guy, maybe a little bit on the small side. And he could see the newspaper, the next morning's paper headline. Average Joe tried to be a hero. He ends up dead in the morgue. City needs help to identify the body. No one would know that he was there. He can just keep on walking. But then Joe saw the other headline. Woman raped in a heartless city with no help in sight. But Joe knew that he was there and help was available. So with that, he jumped into the bush, tackled the attacker. They rolled around the dirt. They rolled into the cement. He could feel his skin being scraped off by the cement floor. And with that, the attacker pushed Joe down to the ground and ran off. So Joe got up, he won the battle. But knowing that the woman was still in a state of shock, he said to her, it's okay, it's okay. The guy ran away. And then trying to catch his breath, he waited for an answer from the woman. And it took a long time to come. And then finally he heard the lady speak. Dad, is that you? So, by hearing the cry of Mayday, Mayday, and responding to it, Joe was able to spare his daughter's situation. Today is the first Sunday in May, and as I'm preparing this message, I keep hearing this Mayday, Mayday signal. And whenever you hear Mayday, Mayday in the movies, in real life, it's the universal distress signal. It means that someone's in danger, someone is in need of help. And we need to be able to respond. Doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what your ability is, you need to respond. And some of you know about the story here about Leonard Smith. This is a gentleman who's 91 years old, mind his own business, going to the gas station to get some gas. And a 22-year-old kid, basically stole his car. And to make matters worse, instead of just taking the key and driving off his car, he was constantly beating Leonard. I mean, Leonard just standing there, and he just kind of beat him. And he finally took off. And afterward, Mr. Sims said that the attacker had no character. But the worst thing about this was that while he was being attacked, there were several bystanders right next to them who did absolutely nothing. So I could say that the bystander also had no character because they had this mayday call and did not respond. So I went through the Bible and looked at some of the situations and see what I could find. And we're all familiar with the story of Esther. As you remember, Esther was this Jewish girl who somehow became the queen of Persia. And before she has a chance to really enjoy being the queen, somehow the prime minister fooled the king into putting out a decree to have all the Jewish people killed. And so her uncle Mordecai, knowing the situation, talked to Esther and told her to go and talk to the king and plead for the people's lives. And the response that Esther gave was, "Who am I to just drop in and talk to the king? You know, I could be killed." And that's a very natural response. It happened to Joe, but he responded. It happened to these attackers and the bystanders, and they did not respond. So I think that we need to be able to see what our characters are like. Now, last month we had the spring cleaning, and lots of people came out. Imagine if someone say, "Why don't you go and count the number of chairs we have? Or why don't you go and sweep the floor? Now, John, why don't you go and clean the bathroom and scrub the toilet bowl?" And John's going to say, "Why do I always get the dirty job?" Okay? So sometimes we get that response is, "How come me?" And Esther here is saying the same thing. Why am I the one to go and save the Jewish people? And then Mordecai's response to him was this: "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arrive from another place." In God's kingdom, God's in control. No, God doesn't need you or me, but God has a purpose for you to respond. And Mordecai was very clear to Esther: either you respond now, or God will pick someone else to respond. And of course, we know that Esther did respond. Now, let's look at the story about Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the angel came to Mary in Luke and told her that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, she was confused. I mean, she was a young lady. How do I get pregnant? You know, she wasn't sure what's going on. But after she got the story, she say in Luke chapter 13, chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So after a period of confusion, and Joe was confused too, he said, "Okay, let it be done. I will go in and jump in to help." And we need to have that kind of response. Maybe God has called me to be the Sunday school teacher. Maybe to host a Bible study in my house. Or maybe to just go and visit my next door neighbor who's in trouble. Okay? Do I step up and say, "Yes, I will do it"? Or do I say, "Why me? Why do I get to do the job?" Right? So, God does not necessarily need us individually. God's will be done. The question is, where are you in God's kingdom and in God's plan? This is a test of character. How do we respond to God's calling? When I was in college, I became a Christian in my sophomore year. And my home church was quite strong. And I learned to grow in that church. And then I graduated, and I was given 3 job offers. But which one to take? I know many of the youth here, they had lots of colleges that accepted them. It was a big headache for them to figure out which college to go to. But for me, it was, do I take the job that's closest to home and continue in my strong church and be fed? Or maybe I should take the one with the highest pay that's up on the Arizona hilltop somewhere. No, I went to Baltimore. And many people asked me, why are you going to Baltimore? I didn't know anyone there. I have no idea what was in Baltimore, except I felt that God has called me to go to Baltimore. Little did I know that when I went to Baltimore, I found out there was a brand new ministry that was starting up for the international students, which has lots of Chinese. And it was in that kind of environment that I was able to start to be a Christian worker, to be able to help people and learn, and to be able to start leading some Bible study and learn how to be a Bible study leader. But also, after about a couple of years, God took away my job as an engineer. I was laid off. But only because of that did I find out that God wanted me to go and study medicine and become a doctor. So God has his plans, and we need to be able to hear his answer to us and be able to respond to them. We need to be like Mary said, I'm not quite sure why God told me to go to Baltimore, but if that's the case, then I'll go to Baltimore. Okay. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had just finished fighting with King Ahab, and he had conquered it over the sorcerers that the king had, and he was tired. He was burned out being the prophet for God. So God had instructed him to pick Elisha. Once Elijah got the message that he was going to be the next prophet, he asked Elijah one thing. He said, let me go home, let me kiss my parents goodbye, and I'll come. And now we know that Elisha was a wealthy man, because according to the Bible, it says he had 12 oxen to plow his field. Many of the more senior people here will understand that 12 oxen is a lot of ox, a lot of bull, right? Because when you're in China, you have one ox, that's pretty darn good. So, but he had 12 oxen, and Elijah went home, and he slaughtered all 12. And then he took the plowing equipment and used it as firewood to cook the meat. And he took the meat and just gave it to the whole town. What was Elijah saying there? He's saying, I'm no longer going to be a farmer. I'm going to give away all these things that is essential to be a livelihood to be a farmer. I'm going to sacrifice that and give it to the people and become God's next prophet. Now, if you contrast that, this is what Elijah said, let me go home and burn the ox and the equipment. Now, we compare that to the other disciple in Matthew, when Jesus asked them to follow him, the disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, that's a pretty noble request. Similar to Elisha saying, let me go home and kiss my parents. But let's look at the status of this man's father. Now, is the father already dead a long time ago? If that's the case, the man would have been buried already, and he must be lying. 2, the father may have just died, in which case, why is this man out there doing whatever he's doing? He should be home mourning for the dead. Or 3, which is more likely, the man's father was still alive. In which case, who's to say when the father would die? So therefore, when is this man ever going to be ready to follow Jesus? This man, in Matthew 8, was not ready to follow Jesus. When I finished my medical training in Baltimore, my family and I have wanted to continue to follow Jesus. And we're looking for a community to practice. And the only desire that we asked of God was 2 things. Give us a small town with a Chinese church where we can serve. That's the only thing we asked of God. And Richland was the 3rd place we went to. And we have, to me, back then, a small town. Again, for me, coming from New York with, 9 million people, 200,000 people is small. And we have a Chinese church here. So, with that, we said, that's it. We're done interviewing. I have plane tickets to 2 other places already. And I called them up and said, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. I already found a place. And they go, no, we already bought you the plane ticket. Why don't you come on down and take a look anyway? I said, no, We're done searching. Thank you. No, thank you. And so we need to be able to say, I'm ready to follow. So you're not mistaken. God is calling you. And God said, I want you. And you're the only one in the room. There's no looking around to see if someone else is behind you. But you're the one. So then what do? Do you procrastinate? Do you do something else? Let's look at the story about Naaman. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. He was second in command, second in power only to the king. Unfortunately, he had leprosy. And he had tried all kinds of medicine that was available, and he was not cured. So finally, his Jewish servant girl said, why don't you go and try to talk to Elisha? He can maybe cure you. So Elisha packed a whole big, train of horses, put all kinds of goodies in there, gold, silver, and ready to give that all to Elisha so they can be cured. And he goes there, and what did Naaman say to him? Elisha say, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed. Naaman was very much insulted. Okay, as you read on, he said he was very angry. I thought he would come and stand and call in the name of the Lord, his God, and do his great things and cure me of leprosy. But instead he told me to go wash in this dirty river 7 times. We got better river back where I'm from, cleaner, wider, more beautiful. Why do I need to wash in this particular river? Okay? And it took a long time, but finally he listened to his servant girl, Jewish girl, who said, what's so easy? You tried everything else already, it's not working. Just go ahead and dip yourself in there. So Naaman did go and dip 7 times, and he came out clean. So, you remember what the Bible said about wisdom? In 1 Corinthians 3:19, said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So many times we hear the calling, we say, I can do this, I can do that. Instead, God said, just follow me. And so we need to be able to say, put away the wisdom of this world and follow Jesus. Okay? Now, right behind the story about Naaman is a story about a widow. This poor widow, her husband had just died, and he had lots and lots of debts. And now that he's dead, the people are coming after her to get paid. And she has absolutely nothing to pay them with. So they said, okay, then we'll just take your kids and we're going to sell them off a slave to get paid back. So the woman went to see Elisha, and gave him the story. Say, prophet, well, I'm in trouble. My husband is dead. I have no money to pay. And they're going to take away my kids. And Elisha said, don't worry about it. What do you have? And she thought for a while. And go, all I have is a little jar of oil. Now, remember, oil back then, 800 BC time, is very valuable. Oil is what some of the time the parents give to the girls as a dowry, I guess, because they can take that with them when they get married. Back then, they didn't have any electricity, and the oil is very important. So, Elijah told him, it's very simple. He go and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Ask a lot. Then go home, shut the door, and start pouring. And what did the woman do? She said, no, that's not going to work. I mean, if I pour from one jar to the next jar, what's the difference? No, she just told her kids, go get some jars, and they locked themselves in the room, and they started pouring, and pouring, and pouring. As many empty jars as they have, the jar kept filling up. Until the jar ran dry? No, until they ran out of jars. And once the jars was gone, that little bottle went dry. And with all these extra jars they have now, they can sell them and make the money to pay the debts off. So God's answer are very simple. Follow his instructions. Remember back in 2004, as our church was growing, and we say, we want to have our own church. Our church members need to have our own church where we can minister to each other. And after much conviction, faith, and prayer, we now are in our own church. So, we need to bring our request to God, and he will answer our prayers. Alright? So, Yes, you heard right. God's calling for you and me. And I'm going to be the next youth Sunday school teacher. Do I now go and say, excuse me, let me go to seminary school first? Or do I say, maybe let me go to the bookstore and buy all kinds of DVDs and books on how to be a youth minister and a Sunday school teacher and child psychology? No. We go right to the source. We go right to God and we ask Him, what do I need now? And our answer is in the Bible. Moses instructed the people by God to tell of God's miracle to the children. He tell them, teach them about God's laws. In this way, they will learn to fear God. They will learn to trust God and also to rely on God. In the New Testament, Timothy was the disciple of Paul. And he became one of the first elders in the new church. How did he get to be that way? Well, it's because his grandma was a believer who taught him about God's rules and God's laws and God's ways. So, praise God, many of you directly and indirectly are teaching your children, and they are following God. So, when I was preparing for today's message, I looked upon our church and see our members and see the things that has happened. I am so happy to be here where so many people are hearing about God's calling. People who are actually jumping up and down say, God, pick me. Let me help. Let me be the one. Okay? And you know what the sacrifices are and what the costs are, but yet you still say, pick me, pick me. And again, last month we have 49 people that came out to the church to help to clean, to help beautify our surroundings. And it was a beautiful day that day. Okay? It was beautiful. You know, people could say, let me clean my own house first. Or people could say, let me just sleep in a couple hours. Maybe I can do catch up my homework or maybe do some work at the office. But no, people came here and they cleaned the church instead. So many of you guys and women are working a full-time job, but yet you are also involved with different ministries. And we have this board outside which lists our co-workers board and deacon board. There isn't a board that's big enough to have everyone's picture on there because everyone is involved in one way or another. Okay? And people sometimes are in several different positions because they want to be involved, they want to help out. Many people are out visiting the sick. Many people are cooking extra meals for those who are in need of food. And many are giving rides to people because they lack the transportation. I know that many people here have made a special trip to Seattle where Mrs. Guo was there just because she's there to give some time and prayer and be with the pastor also. So many of you here are deeply involved with ministries, and praise God for that. Today's message was to help us to hear God's calling. Today's message was to help us to motivate us to trust in God and be able to respond to Him. Again, God doesn't really call Mayday, Mayday to us as the world does, but God is calling you and seeing how we respond, seeing what our characters are going to be. So the bigger picture is that with the calling that God has given, many people in the church has responded. And we are able to pass the test with flying colors. And as Jesus has promised in Matthew 25:21 that we read, His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." He's talking to all of us, all of you. You've been given a task and you've been faithful. And he's asking for all of us to come and share in his master's happiness. And then in Matthew 19:29, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wives or children or field, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." So, whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifices, you have all been able to meet God's expectation. And with that, He's promising you even greater and better things. including eternal life. Praise God.